Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. I must first explain that this is a pre-recording, so if I don't ask my guest, Caroline Corey, if she had a nice Christmas or wish her a Happy New Year, you'll understand why. Caroline is a teacher of consciousness studies, spirituality and metaphysics, and she is the founder of the Omnium Method. Welcome to the program, Caroline. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes. Thank you so much for inviting me, Mike. I hear you well, but it would help if you could speak a little louder.
Right. Now, I think a good place to start here, having mentioned that you are the founder of the Omnium Method, is to explain what Omnium means.
Yes, Omnium actually is a Latin word, and it means a particle of the whole. The reason why I've called my company and this method, this healing method, and pretty much everything I do, my publishing and the events that I do, Omnium, is because we always have to keep in mind that we are an aspect or a particle of a much bigger, larger consciousness, which is a universal consciousness. And this is a very important concept, because as we put things in that perspective, we then align our energy field or our consciousness in relation with the universal consciousness, and that pretty much connects us with the source frequency, which means it's the intelligence of the entire universe working as one. And so it goes beyond the global or the planetary consciousness or the galactic consciousness. It takes you all the way to the universal frequency, and that's, you know, in very brief, the explanation the word Omnium and how that all, this all works.
That's fine. Now, our listeners will be interested to know where this started for you and understand that it was at the early age of five. Would you like to fill in the subsequent years and tell us how it led you to your present position?
Yes, absolutely. Well, actually, what started at the age of five was my connection with this consciousness. But, of course, at the age of five, I didn't really quite know what was really happening. I just remembered being very, very clear about seeing, perceiving subtle energy and communicating telepathically, like in a very natural way. And so I could perceive the subtle energy around me and perceive the energy field of different beings and understand how they were vibrating, how they were aligned, and pretty much everything about them if I wanted to know. And so that started at the age of five, but it continued on and off. It wasn't totally regular, so to speak. It was on and off until much later in life, when I was late, you know, in my 30s, when these experiences became much, much more dramatic, much more intense, and much more powerful. I was then able to tap into the energy field of the planet, and then the galaxy, and then the universe. I could pretty much see how the universe was functioning. If you have an idea what the energy field looks like of a human being, so you can imagine the different pathways and the grid system and the different frequencies that exist within the energy field of an entire universe. It's pretty amazing. And so, of course, all of this was very gradual. I didn't open to it suddenly. It was a very gradual thing. But that's the way I realized that this was the real way to understand and experience things and to understand, I mean, to really believe in them and take them as truth. Because if somebody tells you or explains to you, or if you read about how the universe is, you know, is organized or how it functions, it kind of registers in your brain in a certain way. But when you perceive the subtle energy of the universe as it is moving, as it is functioning, as it is, you know, shifting. You understand things on a totally different level, and things register in your human brain as truth. You don't have the time or the ability to then translate it or analyze this information. It's the direct experience. And so that's how, at this point, when I started to realize that I was tapping into the intelligence of the universe in this direct way, and I was understanding things, you know, experientially, I realized that that is the real way, even in human form, we should be understanding truth. We should be tapping into truth. And so this is how I began. I started to help others. I started, teaching this method so that others can expand their consciousness, so that they, in turn, can tap into the consciousness of the universe, and they can retrieve on their own the information, the truth that they are seeking, rather than rely on an outside source, an outside literature or material or what have you. So this is kind of how it all evolved and got me to this place, Mike.
Right. Now, I believe some people might interpret what you're telling me there as an individual being in contact with their higher self. Would you express it that way, or are you talking about something different?
Yes, it's very different. And what happens, Mike, is that the more you experience these things, and also in my case, as I was mentioning earlier, things happen gradually. It got more and more and more precise, to the point where I could discern the difference between my higher self, when there was another spirit being, there, a spirit family that was, which I call spirit family. It's kind of the spirit lineage where I had come from, which is very confusing sometimes because we think it's a separate entity. And also the consciousness, the galactic consciousness and the universal consciousness. So eventually all of this again happened gradually. It took a while for me to get to this point. But eventually I could discern very clearly when it was my higher self speaking and when it was a spirit family from the galactic frequency speaking and also from source speaking. And that's, in fact, when I was opening up to all of this, Mike, I actually did not want to share any of this until I understood it a little bit better, because for this very reason, because there are so many people out there, you know, saying, you know, bringing information from the higher self or from the guides. And I was thinking, well, I'm probably doing the same thing. What's the difference? What's the big deal, right? And so I really wanted to understand more about this phenomenon, what was really happening that was different or not different. And I realized that I eventually could have this discernment, so that now I can very specifically see, as you are working with your higher self, I can see exactly where you're tapping into, and the same for myself and for other beings. So this took a little bit of time of training and a lot of focus, you know, but eventually this is how now I can definitely be sure that I'm just simply not speaking to my higher self, but I am tapping into a specific frequency, you know, as opposed to the higher self.
Right. Now, when you're in that point of tapping into the universal or the universe consciousness, how do you perceive yourself? Are you the universe, or are you looking at it, as it were, or perceiving it from the outside?
No, it depends. This is again, everything is multidimensional. It depends on what I'm looking at and what I'm asking about at this particular time. For example, if I'm asking about me, for example, who am I in this human body, for example, and I'm tapping into the universal consciousness, one experience could be that I could see my true essence as I was originally created, not as a past life, you know, not as a, you know, another human, another life.
Right.
More of an essence. At, for example, I would see that and experience it and feel it at the center of the universe. So this is one way. Or sometimes I would see the type of being that I am also at the center of the universe. And it's very, very clear to me now, you know, what the essence is or what the type of being is or the type of energy that I carry or what I can do with it or the type of work that I can do with, all of that stuff. So depending on the question, I would experience the answer, so to speak. So it's not something outside of me. It feels more of an extension from my human body here all the way to the center of the universe. It's more of an expansion rather than me being outside of it and watching it from the outside.
Yes,
and the same thing with, for example, if I'm asking about the actual structure of the universe, which I, of course, I talk about in the books eventually. That's how I got to write these books, you know.
Yeah.
I can see how I fit in the universe, for example, but I can also see very clearly how the universe is structured without me in it necessarily. It's almost like I could also observe it from the outside as well. It depends, in other words. It depends on what I'm asking. Then I would experience it this way, one way or another. Yeah.
Do you find it difficult to put into words what you experience? Because one often says that our language is very limited in that respect.
Oh, it is extremely difficult. It's really, most of the time I'm very frustrated and I wonder if the people really understand what I'm talking about, because it's so much more and I feel I'm not really giving it justice because I'm making it so much smaller and sometimes I say I'm making it flat because what I see and experience is multidimensional. It's like this, you know, it has multi-layered, you know, energy to it, and I'm trying to put it in a very linear way. It feels I'm flattening it, you know, so it's definitely a big, big problem. And so what I do is I try to focus on the energy that I'm feeling at the time, that I'm receiving, that I'm tapping into, and I intend for that energy to just be translated as I'm speaking. And for the people to not just hear the words, but to try to sense the energy or what I'm tapping into at the time that I'm saying these words for them to feel more, you know, than just the words, you know. So hopefully sometimes that works, you know.
Right. Now, you have described yourself as sensing, hearing, and perceiving subtle energy.
Yes.
What did you mean by hearing?
Hearing, yes. I can actually, subtle energy, and again, it depends what we're talking about, but subtle energy has a tone. And so, so sometimes I just hear the tone of that energy. And as you hear the tone, and again, it's not so much just the human, ear or hearing spectrum. It's beyond that. And so the hearing is multidimensional. Again, it's not flat. It's not linear. And so as I tap into a certain energy or a frequency or the center or a location in the universe, for example, or a person, then I can hear that tone. But as I hear it, it's also information. It's almost like it then gets broken down into what this tone is, who this person is, what this energy field is, and the information inside that tone then comes to me. So what happens with these experiences, Mike, is that it's the all of the senses come together as one. So you hear, see, sense, understand everything all at once in one chunk. So, for example, sometimes I would tap into an energy that I had never seen before, or, you know, like it's a first time that I'm tapping into it. And then as I'm tapping into it, I sense it, hear it, see it, but I also know it right there. Because there is no, because it's not the human mind trying to analyze what I'm sensing or seeing. It's a direct experience of that energy. And when you experience things directly, you kind of know what they are. It's kind of hard to describe, but
yeah.
It's that sort of understanding as well. So hearing is another channel. It's all part of the same experience.
Yeah. I think I can understand what you're getting at. Now,
yeah.
You also mentioned that you explore the unseen world. What precisely does that mean?
Well, pretty much what is beyond the human spectrum, what the average, you know, human person, the human frequencies, you know, that the humans can perceive. So it's beyond or below. And that's what I mean by the unseen world. So anything beyond the human visual spectrum, perceptual spectrum, is what I mean by that. And I mean, again, I speak about all this, Mike, but it's really everyone can do this. And that's the point of me sharing these experiences that I've had, is to tell people that this is very natural. This is the way we can experience reality and expand our consciousness. It's just simply not taught. Nobody tells us these things, and so we just don't go there. And when we do, we don't know how to interpret this thing. And so really, this is actually what is consciousness expansion means, really. This is something that everyone can do and should be doing, really. Honestly, that's, I think, the purpose of being in human form, is to continuously expand our consciousness in this human form.
Right. Now, I want to jump straight into your thoughts about the divine plan beyond 2012.
Yes.
After that, I would like to come back and discuss various points about your beliefs and your knowledge, relating indeed to your meditation CDs, because the titles of them obviously tell you what they are about. But how do you see the coming years, and what are your beliefs that will happen beyond 2012?
Well, I think this is an amazing time on the Earth plane. I think the year 2000, well, it's around the year 2012, where a lot of the old, if not most of the old systems that have existed on the Earth plane for thousands of years are basically coming to an end to make room for the new. So it is a spectacular time. It is unprecedented in Earth's history and also other planetary systems in this universe anyway. And so it is a very exciting time for me because, I mean, for me, from my perspective, I mean, because we are finally, you know, coming to a close with the old belief systems and the old ways of behaving and thinking and dealing with ourselves and dealing with the planet. And we are really moving into a much higher level of consciousness, not just humanity, but the Earth as a planet, as an energy field, and also the animal consciousness and the plant life, because it's all together. We can't separate the consciousness of the planet from the consciousness of humanity and vice versa, really. So I believe this is a very, very exciting time. It is a very complex and complicated unfolding. And so it is, again, it's multidimensional, I believe. It's not just one thing. It's not that, you know, the spiritual, all, everybody will become spiritual, or, you know, it's much more complex than that. There are a lot of things moving around, again, in terms of the earth grid, that is shifting in a very dramatic new way. And this shifting of the earth grid is precisely what is going to change the perception of reality on the earth, so that being on the earth will be an entirely new experience. And also there is a very important correlation between the earth grid and the human brain. And so as the earth grid changes into a new configuration, so to speak, well, so does the human brain. And also the human brain, as you expand your consciousness here in human form, you also affect and work with or align yourself with the new earth grid that is emerging right now. So it's an entire new reality that is being birthed on the earth. We spoke earlier briefly about the perceptual spectrum of humanity, which is going to expand. If right now we can only hear from 20 to 200,000 hertz, for example, well, that range of hearing is going to expand. The range of perceiving, of seeing, absorbing light and refracting light is going to expand. And it's not just about hearing more or seeing more, but the perception, our entire perceptual reality is going to change. Of course, with that, the consciousness changes when you see and perceive things differently. So it's very complex, and it's amazing, actually, what's happening. But for me, it's a very, very positive turn, really. The only problem is that we are observing a lot of negative, or what seems to be a negative manifestation of the 2012 events, so to speak. For example, the collapses of the monetary system and the financial system and the economy and this and that. And it's very easy to get confused into thinking that we are going in the wrong direction. Unfortunately, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there, and people also getting a little bit stuck in the conspiracy theories and into the whole we're being taken over and this and that. Certainly there is some of that, but it's only one part of the story. From my perspective, these collapses are part of the bigger picture. You have to let go, and you have to kind of observe these changes, and they appear as collapses, but in fact, they are simply transforming into this new higher reality. So they're only making room for this higher, newer reality, which is going to be amazing. And so so that's why I'm always trying to remind people to look at the events around us that are happening around us right now that may appear to be negative, and to simply put it in perspective that they are necessary for the bigger picture, and to simply shift their vision and their perception to what they are wanting to create, and how this is going to be a very significant change on the earth. It is turning, I mean, it is moving into a much, much, much higher frequency and consciousness on the earth and beyond, by the way. And it's important to not get lost in the immediate manifestations, immediate observations on the earth right now. So this is really how I see it. I think this is going to be absolutely phenomenal. We just have to help everyone around us who gets stuck a little bit with these negative manifestations, you know. So that's my perception of it. What do you think?
Right. Well, I can go along with you entirely in the way you've expressed that very excellently, I think, by the way. I'm looking at some of the comments you made about the divine plan, and I notice you talk of the organization of the local universe, which I believe you call the invisible government. Who are the invisible government?
Well, it's actually the divine order, pretty much, that is orchestrating this entire movement. It's almost like there is a dispensation, I want to say, of higher beings of higher consciousness who have actually manifested in human form, incarnated in human form, and some are not in human form, and that's why I call them invisible. But they are present on the Earth, within the Earth plane, and within the planetary system, whereas normally they wouldn't be present. And so it's almost like they are all holding that space for us, for the rest of the humans that, you know, who are needing the guidance, who are not understanding what's going on. So they are the bigger, the higher picture that are orchestrating this whole plan to unfold properly, to make sure it delivers the outcome that is supposed to, you know, that is supposed to manifest. And so this is really, I believe, is orchestrated by this divine order. And if it wasn't the case, then it would be very difficult to come in, incarnate in human form, and try to do it from the inside out. You know what I mean? Without the help on the other side, it's kind of like you have to have. It's actually pretty spectacular, because this dispensation has beings of many different orders arriving at the same time on the Earth over a period of time to ensure that this unfolding takes place in the proper way, and to ensure that this plan works. So that's why I feel very confident. I can see this dispensation. I can just see the different orders of beings that are present here, like holding this multidimensional space for us to move into. That's why sometimes people say, well, how do you know? It's almost like I'm so confident that this plan cannot fail, because I can see how far we're being assisted, and
I think that's wonderfully reassuring. Now, I have seen messages that have referred to a particular point that's coming up very soon in connection with 2012, where our solar system is entering, or has started to enter, the photon energy, and it would seem that it's such a powerful energy that it may actually be the trigger for us moving into that higher dimension. Does that idea fit in with what you understand?
Yes, definitely. Some people call it photon energy, but I call it source frequency. I think it's along the same lines. And this source frequency is very much present already on the Earth plane, and it's not present everywhere. I mean, it's potentially there, but it's in some areas. It's pretty much, I mean, it's like a, if you want to visualize it or imagine that, it's like a bubble of energy, and that is the new frequency. And it's existing, coexisting with the old frequencies. And so the more bubbles enter the Earth plane, eventually the entire Earth plane will be filled with these bubbles of new frequency, which I call source frequency. And eventually we will basically move into them, and the entire Earth will set itself within this new frequency. So it's definitely very much present, and it's continuously being increased, actually, as we move into 2009 and the next few years. And it's the presence of this new energy that actually creates the consciousness to expand, but also allows the old things that are no longer serving us, that are of a much lower vibration, to start to come down or to break down, because a lower vibration cannot coexist with a higher vibration. There's no match anymore, And so that's why the abundance of source frequency, or some people call it photon energy, is very, very important, and it will continue to increase. So it fits very much with my perception, I believe.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, it's quite clear to me I could have another program with you entirely about the divine plan, and if you're willing to come on again, just looking ahead, I'd love you to do that. But before I just move from the divine plan beyond 2012, give me your understanding or the meaning of the second coming, because I think people who follow the Bible believe that means the return of Christ, whereas I am one amongst others who believe that it's actually the return of the Christ consciousness to Earth. Now, how do you see that?
Well, again, it's a little bit complex, and I tried to explain it as best I could in the divine plan.
You're doing very well.
To me, it is both and more. So what this means is it is not so much the return, but it's the re-emergence. And actually, the Christ consciousness was implanted on the earth about 2,000 years ago, and it actually never left. It continued to expand, and what happens is that 2,000 years later, from the year 2000 to the year 2012, it's almost like this is the time for that consciousness to finally manifest fully, I want to say, or to become embedded fully within the Earth and humanity's consciousness. Because this consciousness is it's universal, and it is extremely large, massive, it takes a certain amount of time for it to be embedded fully, if you're looking at it from linear time. And so the Christ consciousness, not that it's coming back, because it's never left, it's reappearing in its full form. And so, having said that, it is the consciousness is reappearing in its full form. At the same time, there are beings holding that particular frequency in various form as well, but in various amounts, for lack of a better word. And so it is, again, the dispensation that I talked to you about earlier. It is a dispensation of the Christ consciousness carried in the bodies of many individuals at once, including the main body of the Christ. Was that complex enough, Mark?
Oh, yes, that's absolutely informative. Would I conclude from that, though, that it is not then necessarily tied, wholly tied, to the return of Jesus?
No, absolutely not. It's not the person of Jesus, and certainly not necessarily one man in a beard, necessarily. Again, it's a very linear thinking that the one man as Jesus, appears in human form, then he gets crucified, he leaves, and comes back in another human form, looking the same way, with the same type of energy, or the same type of what have you, 2,000 years later, or whatever, and that is the second coming. It's very simplistic, and that's okay, but really I'm trying to bring the a little bit more to it that is more... that's how a divine dispensation really works. It's not simply in the body of one person in this way. It's much more complex than that. And even the human Jesus was an entire consciousness. It wasn't just his physical body. So, again, every religion, I believe, are also speaking of second coming. Isn't that the case? and they expect their unique, their particular prophet to again die and reincarnate and show up again as a second coming. It's simply not the case as far as I can see.
Yeah. So I think to conclude that particular point, one could say that Jesus actually did his job, if you can call it that, when he first came to the earth by grounding the Christ consciousness. And you've explained how it's not returning, but it's going to manifest now.
Yes, exactly. Manifest
right.
Fully, meaning it will be embedded in the entire consciousness in the earth. It's actually more the Divine Father frequency that is embedded fully in the consciousness of the earth and humanity. And that is the reason why, at this point, the new reality has to emerge, because it is impossible for that consciousness to birth, which is pure source consciousness, to birth when there are so many systems, or when there is a reality that is outside that source, a reality that's based on fear, a reality that's based on abuse of power, and so on and so forth. It's just the two simply cannot coexist. So that's why the reemergence, the full reemergence of Christ consciousness now, from the year 2000 until 2012, is precisely what is allowing this new reality to emerge, as I was explaining right. earlier. So it's facilitated by the entire divine order that is orchestrating this whole emergence, as well as those divine beings that are part of the dispensation that have incarnated in human form at the same time. So you see, again, it's multidimensional. But at the end of the day, this is what is allowing this entire Christ consciousness to fully be embedded in the Earth consciousness and beyond, in the planetary system as well, of course.
Right. Now, you refer, obviously, in a general terms, to spiritual beings. Now, we tend to look upon the extraterrestrials that are apparently involved in this stage in our evolution as spiritual beings. But do you have any particular comment about their presence or the way they're working with us?
Yes, it depends who you are speaking about, but there are many ETs from different star systems and different planetary systems that are present here with us, but we connect with them, we don't see them, so we think there are, spirit beings, but in fact they are physical beings. And again, I'm generalizing here because,
yeah.
as I mentioned earlier, there are different types of being working at the same time. There are evolutionary beings, there are physical beings, there are celestial beings, there are power controllers, there are different types of being. There are life architects, there are Melchizedeks, there are beings from the different there are different intelligent beings from various orders working all at the same time. That's what I'm saying. It's spectacular. And so, but in human form, you cannot see the other beings working with you. And so sometimes if you are connected, for example, with another being from Sirius, the star Sirius, or Arcturus, or the Pleiades, or what have you, we think they are necessarily a spirit being, but they are for us, they are like in spirit form because we can't see them, but most of the time, they are an evolutionary being, meaning a material, a physical being, just not human, and the fact that we don't see them does not necessarily make them a spirit being. Does that make sense, Mike, what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, yes.
And
that's
so,
indeed.
And sometimes we are tapping into another type of being that is a light being. And again, because we don't see them, we say they're spiritual beings, but or a spirit being, but actually they are a light being. So it's a different type of being, and this different type of being could be very much present on the Earth or present in the center of the galaxy or on some or on some star, and we could be communicating with him as well. So you see, it's not one answer that is for everything. It depends on the type of being that they are and where they are located, and definitely there are so many who are part of this divine plan working all together. It's very, very amazing, and it's really spectacular how many types of beings from different arrangements and different parts of the galaxy are working all together. It's really fascinating.
Right. Do you personally have any specific spiritual beings that work with you that you're aware of, or have a name as you know them?
Definitely. In the beginning I started to see those beings, and I could see that they were, I call them my spirit family, because it felt like we are the same, one and the same. So they're more along the lines of the what people call the ascended master. But now, it's been a while actually. It's been maybe 10 years or so, where I simply tap straight into the consciousness of the divine father of at the center of this universe. So that's kind of who I connect with. I don't really connect with a spirit guide, they are still there. Don't get me wrong. Different spirit being work with you for different things. And so, for example, if I'm going shopping or something, then I probably need the assistance of a spirit being that is part of my lineage, not just any passing, angel or something, to assist me in my earthly activity, in my day-to-day whatever manifestation. But then when I am asking to bring healing to the planet or to work with an individual for an imbalance or a healing or whatever, or when I'm teaching, I am tapping straight into the center of the universe, the consciousness of the Divine Father, Divine Creator, and no one else. And that, again, going back to what we started to talk about in the beginning of this program, Mike, you asked me, how do you know it's not your higher self or whatever? That, I can assure you, I'm very clear. It took me a long time to understand who I was tapping into, what I was tapping into, and how each being felt and how to discern each one. But once I found, I got this discernment, I can tell you for sure, once you have this discernment, you know exactly where you're going, and this is the consciousness that I tap into, and no one else.
Right.
And it feels great, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've clearly been put in a wonderful position to be able to perceive to the extent that you do. What you describe as the, say, energy at the center of the universe, would it be fair to say that you're speaking to the God of the universe?
Definitely, it's the divine creator of this universe, because there are more than one universes, of course, and this particular universe, which I say the local universe, there is one divine creator, divine father, divine mother, but it's divine father, which is the divine creator, the inventor, basically, of this universe, of creator of all intelligent life and within this universe. So that is the mind that I tap into. And by the way, this is what I'm teaching, Mike. This is what my work is about, to tell people that if I, in human form, it took me a while. I'm not saying this is an easy process, but this is what we are all supposed to be doing here. We are supposed to eventually, with the help of our guides, with the help of, all the other spirit beings that assist us, but eventually it's for us to tap into the energy of our Creator directly, with no other intermediary, without any priest or this or that. We are supposed to be tapping into the consciousness of our own Creator, just like that.
Yeah.
And that's why, I teach the meditation connecting to Source. That's exactly what it is. It allows you to align your brain channels, your mind channels, and your energy field straight with that consciousness so that you kind of retrain your brain to go there. Because nobody tells us how to do this. Nobody trains us to tap into that frequency. They tell us, no, 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 go to a church or go to a mosque or go, you know, or do this or do that. Whereas, you know, we can do it this way. So this is what this meditation is about. This is what this whole work is about, really.
Right. I think what you've clearly been saying so far, particularly mentioning the meditations, is that we do not need so much to look outside of us. The answers are within.
Absolutely, 100%. Absolutely, yes.
Fine.
And so the work is simply about, the work is simply about retraining our mind and our energy to know or to remember how to align this way so that we can tap into that energy. That's all. It's not that, you know, that we don't know how to do it or one person can, the other person cannot. It's just the retraining, a little bit of a retraining period. And that's it.
Yes. Now, one of your meditation CDs is called Raise Your Vibration. Now, I get quite a number of inquiries from people or emails asking what they can do to prepare themselves for this upliftment in energy. So what would your advice be to someone asking that question?
Yes, raising your... See, as soon as you align your energy field and your mind channels with the frequency of source, it's almost like you position yourself to tap into this energy, the center of the universe, the mind of your creator, you automatically raise your vibration. It is impossible for you to kind of point yourself in that direction, so to speak, and hold a lower vibration. It's like you can't do both because that vibration is too high, and you can't keep yourself in the anger or sadness or frustration and tap into the connecting source. And so that's what I'm saying. I made this so simple, actually, for people to be able to raise their vibration instantly. And I tell you, you know, if you do this, I don't know if you've tried it yet, Mike. It's on my website. It is free. People can just try it. It takes 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I mean, not barely. It's not you have to sit in this meditation for 4 hours and then you start to feel. If you are simply focusing correctly and you're doing this correctly and just trusting and allowing, you are there. I mean, you are there in 3 minutes. Your vibration is high. 99.99% of people who have physical pain, the pain is gone instantly. The lower vibration of anger, frustration, all of that is instantly lifted because, again, everything is a frequency. And so if you are frustrated or angry, you are vibrating very low. As soon as you raise your vibration, it is lifted and gone. So now the trick is to train yourself to stay there. It's because it's good to kind of do the connection and it feels good, and you know, but then you go back, you know, in your normal life and then you drop again. So that's why I recommend that people do this every day, nonstop, and as often as they can, actually, for 40 days, 30, 40 days, so that you kind of, again, it's a training period, retraining period, for you to remind your brain, you don't go down, you stay up, you don't go down, you stay up. You know, it's like keep yourself going back, tapping into this higher frequency until you program yourself, you know, as so that you can automatically remember how to go back to that place, which is a higher vibration. And again, we spoke earlier, Mike, about the source frequency that is present on the earth or the photon energy that's present on the earth. Well, this is how you'll be able to match it more comfortably and find it and create it and maintain it, is by you training, by doing this connecting to source as often as you can, especially in the beginning.
Right. Now, some people might be interested in that, we hope, and they may feel that they have energy field blocks. Is there any easy way to remove those or even identify what they are?
Yes, absolutely. Usually there is a fear. Every time you want to tap into the higher consciousness, or, you know, you're basically asking to let go of your old beliefs, your old fears, because as you are tapping into the higher source frequency, you are also saying, I'm no longer interested to hold on to my own fears. And so there's a little bit of resistance that happens sometimes. There's a little bit of unconscious fear of I'm tapping into this higher, purer form of energy. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. So people can just, if they feel a little bit blocked or they don't feel this immediate connection, they can ask to release that to just, I mean, there are a lot of healing sessions also that I do, and, you know, different types of group healings for that. But if people cannot participate or they don't have the funds or what have you, they can simply ask and intend to release the fear. It's usually a fear because it's an unconscious fear. To let go of the fear of raising your vibration and tapping into source frequency. And just work on that as best you can and just to do it. I also have to tell you, I've worked with some people sometimes who don't feel anything and they say, oh, I don't feel anything. Even though, for example, out of 100 people, you're going to have 2 people who feel nothing. Everybody else immediately gets it. And then, so the people who feel nothing say it didn't work. You really have to just believe, just trust. And by the way, you have nothing to lose. But those people who think that they didn't feel anything and assume that it didn't work, if they persisted, and some of them eventually persist, eventually they feel it and it becomes more and more powerful every day. And those of you who have been, those people who have been using this meditation and feeling something, if they continue, they also, it gets stronger and stronger and more and more and more powerful and more intense, and they have more and more experiences, their perception expands, it just continues on and on. So that's why even people who are blocked, as you mentioned, they just have to trust. Like I said, they have nothing to lose. Just trust, do it for 30 days, and just believe, you know, eventually things will start to happen, yes.
Right. It's been so interesting. We're actually heading for the end of the program, and I'd like to give you a chance to give people your website address and email. But can I just ask you, in that case, one final question?
Yes.
What place does the ego take in all this?
What do you mean, the ego?
Well,
everybody
we can talk of the inner
ego
voice, like our intuitive side, which perhaps guides us in a positive way. But we can also have an ego that perhaps is our pride or our prejudice, which tells us to do something that we may know is not entirely correct, but we go ahead with it.
Right. So, so you're saying, how can the ego not interfere, or?
Well, I'm really asking, I mean, is the ego something we should try to lose as we merge with our higher consciousness?
I think rather than focusing on something we need to lose or what is really blocking us, it's better to focus on what we really want. And if we simply say that we want to simply return to our divine self, to birth our divine frequency, to tap into the highest, purest form of frequency, the highest, purest truth, the purest form of love, the mind of our Creator, and just focus on that, I think eventually the ego is, again, it's like we said earlier, it's not going to be able to hold on. It's going to eventually, at some point, there's a bit of a struggle because it's trying to hang on and it's trying to kind of interfere with your work, but eventually it won't be able to. And that's why I'm saying, just do the meditation. Just do it. Just do it. And what you're doing is bringing this higher frequency, and the ego is eventually is going to have to fall off on its own.
Right, so, that is a really excellent answer. Now, I haven't got a lot of time left now, so would you please tell us what your website address is and your email address, if you're prepared to give that out?
Yes, definitely. The website is www.omniumfoundation.com, O-M-N-I-U-M, foundation.com. And, of course, you can look in the contacts and see what, you know, how you can contact me if you have any questions or queries. But also, if you don't mind, Mike, real quick, on my website, I do free webcasts and I do global healing. If people
right,
would like
yes.
to participate,
yes.
it's very, very helpful to tap into these higher frequencies and simply
right.
be in this energy. And, of course, they're under the classes series, under the classes page. I do also group healings for,
yes.
You know, for these releases of the egos
right.
and the fears and what have you. Very, very helpful stuff. So go to the
right.
website and enjoy.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm going to have to say thank you very much for coming onto my program. It's been excellent talking to you, and I very much appreciate the level at which you talk, which is very informative and I think full of wisdom. So thank you very much again for coming onto the program. I do hope, and I meant it seriously, that perhaps we can have you back in the new year. I'd love to talk a little more about 2012. So. Thank you very much, Caroline.
Mike, thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure.
Great, thank you. I'll now announce next week's guest, who hardly needs announcing in actual fact, because it's Susie Ward, the mother of Matthew, whose monthly messages are read by thousands of people worldwide, and I think they are eagerly looked forward to because of the quality and positive messages he gives out. So thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can join me next week. God bless you all.